A motley band of heroes set sail, bound for a new life in a lonely island outpost. Beneath the waves, the shattered bones of a long-dead civilization. Treasures beyond the dreams of avarice. Dangers beyond the realm of nightmares. A tale 10,000 years in the making. This is the Raiders of the Lost Continent.
We were talking about, Elton John before we started recording here. You guys have any strong opinions about Elton John?
I'm curious what Matthew thinks.
Love him. Pro. Very pro.
He is a professional musician. It's true. No, but apart from that, does anyone have any opinions about him? Subjective opinions. I'm guessing I really want to know.
I saw him in concert.
You did?
Yeah.
Where, at Foxwoods?
I think it was at the Fleet Center, which is what replaced the Boston Garden. Like, I saw Elton John at the Fleet Center. It was the year after he toured with Billy Joel, and they would do like dueling pianos. I could be just completely misremembering this. Maybe I just saw Billy Joel, but I think I saw old Elton.
Wow, a possible Elton John sighting in the wild.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's one thing. That's a feature of Elton John, is he clouds the mind. And afterwards, years later, you're not sure if it happened at all.
He's a pinball wizard.
Yeah,
you try to look back and you just hear da 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 da. And you're like, wait a minute.
I was hypnotized by that man.
Yeah. His music is the soundtrack of our lives.
Yeah, it is. But he also... I'm with Matthew. Like, he is a professional. He's a solid pro. He's very good at making music, I guess. But I was saying I can only listen to one Elton John song and I'll be like, oh, this is great. But if you ask me to listen to a second Elton John song right after that, I will throw up.
Really?
Which two are you pairing, Skid? I feel like maybe it's like pairing the wrong wine with the wrong dinner.
Yeah, you can't go Crocodile Rock right into Don't Go Breaking My Heart. That's just foolish.
You can't do that. You just can't do that.
Mix it up with a little Daniel or your song.
I don't think it matters. It's just
to leaven out the Crocodile Walk.
Here's the thing.
Finish your night with a little I'm Still Standing.
I love key lime pie. I'll eat a slice of key lime pie. Yeah, like, this is amazing.
I'm with you on that.
But it's if I eat a second slice of key lime pie right after two. I ate the first one, I'm probably going to throw up. And it's the same thing with Elton John.
It's funny. I had this exact experience with roller coasters. Like, I would go on a roller coaster and I'd be like, that was a lot of fun. Let's do, like, there's no line. Let's go right back and do it again. And even though I had zero nausea after the first run, if I did the same roller coaster, like, in quick succession, I'd be like, oh, God. Oh, God.
What have I done?
Yeah, it is that same sort of wave of nausea that I get that you experience listening to Elton John. And I can't really... There's something about his vibe that makes me sick.
I think it's funny that you brought up key lime pie because I was thinking his music is treacly.
It is treacly. It is a treacly, molasses-y sort of music.
Yeah. It's very sentimental and very kind of out there. And I was just thinking, I think you and I are on the same page here. I was much more kind of different music, but same kind of era-ish. Bowie was much more my speed. Because he was sarcastic. Yeah. He was ironic. He was depressed.
He has more of an edge to his music. A specific kind of edge to his music that Elton John doesn't.
And he had some silly ones. He had some cheesy songs out there, for sure. But, like, there was a lot more, like, stuff you could, like, put into the background and not, like... It feels like watching a Hallmark movie sometimes, listening to an Elton John song. Like, it's a Hallmark Christmas special.
It's not
sometimes.
An experience I've had. I get, like, sweet. Yeah, like, there's a sweetness to it. But not Hallmark sweet.
Right.
Troy, your thoughts on Hallmark movies?
I would not compare him to Hallmark movies. Although I love them both in very different ways. I think, Skid, your aversion to it is you hate folk music. And he was definitely around in that folksy time. But he's a rock star. Like, you know, think about him, like, with the crazy glasses and the outfits, just standing up, playing the piano with his fucking feet. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a star. And I don't dislike Elton John. I like Elton John, but I have to absorb him. It's like radiation. Like, it's a little radiation is great for you, but you have to have it in very small doses.
Small doses.
Few gamma rays. You know, yeah. You'll turn out okay.
One or two nuclear explosions, you can weather those pretty easily. But three or four, any more than that, and you're flirting with danger, my friend.
Joe, you're suspiciously quiet during all this. Yeah. I'm going to say you are very pro Elton John.
I don't think he cares. I don't think
he has
an opinion.
Don't put my personal business out there.
as like just off camera, there's an enormous poster of Elton John like on my wall.
Philadelphia Freedom, it says. I live and breathe.
Here's how I feel. This is how I feel about Elton John. This is the best way I can sum it up. I think that his songs are good, for sure. And he's like, I know he's an epic rock star. But I was always a huge Billy Joel fan, and he was the first concert I ever went to when I was a kid. I loved Billy Joel, and then I stayed into it for a long time. And when he was touring with Elton John, the best way I could sum it up is like, I would be obsessed with going to see like Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden, seeing Billy Joel at any kind of big concert. And sometimes he'd be doing it with Elton John, and they'd be like, it's Billy Joel and Elton John. And I'd be like, okay. That's fine. He's there too. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't interest me that much at all. That said, I bet if I ever actually did see it, I'd probably be a huge Elton John fan, because I am guilty of like hearing a recording artist, being lukewarm, and then seeing them live and being like forever changed. And I bet you he puts out that kind of vibe at a live show that is just like, you know, you never forget it.
Or just let Troy, over the course of one beer, talk about Elton John and you'll be a fan for life.
Well, that's what happened with Hall & Oates. It took him one beer at one bar, just angrily in my face, rattling off hits. Did you know these were all number one? Did you know these were all number one? And I just was like, that? And then by the end of it, I was like, they're the greatest rock and roll musicians of all time.
Give me 12 ounces in 20 minutes, and I'll have you buying CDs. I'll have you listening to Honky Tonk Cat to go to bed every night.
I did. I think I told you guys I spoke to Elton John on the phone once.
Yes.
No, you did not mention this.
I've told Grant, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to tell the story for you, but it's a great story.
Yeah, I was temping at a well-known cosmetics concern in New York City. And I was the assistant to the assistant to the chairman of the board.
I remember
this pharmaceutical concern. Now you probably remember the story. And what's funny, and I think I have mentioned this, but what's funny is the other assistant to his wife was Malik Pancholi, who ended up playing Alec Baldwin's assistant on 30 Rock.
Oh.
And it was like right before he got that job.
Jonathan.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we were working together for like 8 months at this job. So anyway, I was answering the phones, and one day I answered the phone. It was just like Mr. So-and-so's office. And they're like, this is like, yes, this is Elton John. Is so-and-so there, please? And he said the real name, obviously. And I said, I was kind of taken aback because I didn't expect to be speaking to Elton John that day, regardless of what my horoscope said. So I said, well, it's like, he's actually out at the moment. I'm just like, can I help you? So I said, yes, well, I'm doing a photography exhibit in Atlanta, and I just wanted to know if you wanted some of the details so I could send them along and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, oh, well, let me take a message. And I wrote it down, and he told me everything. And he was just like, I said, well, and I didn't know how to refer to him. I didn't know what to say.
Mr. John.
Yeah, you don't want to say Mr. John, because
it sounds...
Well, I didn't want to be that familiar.
Your Majesty!
Because someone famous like that, maybe I'm weird, but I'm like, I don't want them to like get the impression that like, oh, I know exactly who you are.
Right.
Especially in a business like kind of like situation like that. So you want to be professional, but I was just like, I can't say Mr. John because that's, I don't know. It's like, I'm not in a bordello.
Right.
A very respectful bordello. Like, I can't do that. So it's, I just didn't know what to say. So,
like the maid at a bordello?
Right. Oh, sorry, John. Mr. John, I didn't know you weren't finished. I'll come back in 15. So I was just...
What a mess.
Well, you do leave a mess, don't you, Mr. John? So I just said, well, I'll definitely give him the message. And I'll never forget the tone in his voice. He said, oh, thank you very much. Like, he sounded so surprised and pleased that I would give pass his message along.
As if that weren't your only job.
Right. Like I would ever consider not doing it. Like, he just, oh, well, thank you very much, sir. Wow. What a pleasant interaction with that young man over the phone.
Who knew?
You know, I told him something to say to his employer, and he said, I'll tell him. Just like that. What a miracle. America. What a country. So I went, I passed it on, all his info on to the travel secretary. I remember, like, I had it all written down, and I had it at the travel secretary, and she was like, whoa. And I was like, I know, Elton John. And then I left. And I was like,
that's great.
And then several years later, You said some lukewarm things about him on podcast.
I never promised him that I would fall in love with his music. We just had a very pleasant professional interaction.
Well, wait, how did you end the conversation? You didn't name him. You just said,
I just said, I'll definitely pass along the message.
And that was the last thing you said.
That was the last thing
I
said.
And just so you know, I can never listen to two of your songs in a row.
Do you like key lime pie? Let me try to explain.
How do you get through touring? Because you have to play more than one of your songs in a row, and I don't know how that's possible. How could you possibly do that?
How do you endure more than two of your songs in a row?
I would apologize, but sorry seems to be the hardest word.
And on that note,
just keep dropping them.
We're planning on interrogating somebody else here in this fantasy setting. You're going to interrogate the former Carver Hastings.
Oh, man.
Fortunately, the colonel showed up at the shed in which he was locked and saw that he had been let in by the guards, it seems. And his apparent murderer is being restrained right now. So the colonel is standing there. You're looking in. You're watching this scene unfold in front of you as it has unfolded. And the rest of you, as you're all setting out to, like, on your gather information / avoid this potential torture session, you see, like, this attention, like, being kind of town-wide among these stragglers being diverted to what's going on at the shed. So you, the rest of you, are quickly alerted to what's going on also.
Yeah, Zora will run over there.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Colonel, what do you do? First on the scene, first responder, what do you say? What do you do?
The colonel will rush in to help apprehend him.
Okay. And yeah, you're helping, like, wrestle this guy. And he's an older man. He's, like, he's in his 50s. But he's just possessed of this adrenaline and this fury. And eventually you feel his body just go limp and the dagger drops from his hands and he just kind of, like, collapses in your arms. And he just starts sobbing, just starts, like, just it all releases all of this emotion and this, like, huge heaving sob, and he just doesn't stop.
Colonel will turn on the guards. Be like, how did this happen? You had one job!
I know. I'm sorry, sir. He said he just wanted to talk to him, and I know he said it. Well, one of those things, sir. It posed as his wife, and it killed his two children. So, yeah, I just thought, you know, thought maybe he'd rough him up a little bit, which is all right by us. I didn't think. I don't know. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't think. You didn't think that a man whose children were murdered because of this gentleman would just... Where's your boss? Where's the guy who owns the barn?
Oh, Luayton. He's I'm not sure. I'm not sure where he is. He might still be asleep.
All right, both of you, get out of here. You're useless.
should be ashamed. The knowledge this man had, I wish I had wrung it out of him when I had the chance. Both of you, go! And the colonel is, like, unnaturally quick-tempered right now.
Yeah, you're unusually focused this morning, Colonel. And yeah, they, like, sheepishly just kind of get away. And you can see this, like, crowd kind of forming. And the people, like, peering in, like, somebody sees the body, and it's just like, good for you! Chigawa was coming to him! And it's like, so you can see this, like, rabble. But people are so exhausted that it doesn't really catch fire the way that you think it might in other circumstances. And at this point, the other three of you show up on the scene.
Luther will point at the dead stalker and look at Gavo.
You killed him?
No, Gavo. Though I wish I did. This is the result of your half measures. He points to the guys and they're weeping. The dagger. I'm sure Gavo can put two and two together.
What happened to the guards?
They were not guards. They were just men. Foolish men, like all of the people in this damned colony.
Don't say anything you can't take back.
I couldn't think of the word.
Where is he going with this?
Tamander's bounty.
Colony.
Can he be saved? Can you heal him?
I'll do a heal
Colonel,
check.
Have you tried to stabilize him?
Have you tried to use your magic to? I know this is something you're very unfamiliar with. But have you used your magic?
I was under the impression he was dead.
I don't mean to tell you your job, but
you do have powerful magical abilities in this arena.
I was under the impression he was dead, but I'll do a heal check.
It is known throughout the colony that you get off on withholding. But perhaps in this one instance.
I got a 14.
He clearly has been taken well below his hit point threshold in game terms.
It was obvious he was dead.
Yeah.
We considering that he was the boss of Book 2, whoever this common villager is, is more than meets the eye. We should have him join the team.
Join the party.
Because he's clearly a fucking level 9 hero.
Well, he was not fully healed when you left him. He was just barely. He was on death's door when you locked him up.
He was tired.
Like Wolverine, like went in there and just cut him to shreds. Exactly. You know?
And then we turned around. Where's the guy who did it? He's gone. Who wants this man?
This guy with like a lance, this gleaming metal armor. He's like standing there. Twas I.
Yeah, 10th level paladin.
he just runs a bakery in town. He's done nothing useful this entire adventure.
Oh, Sir Mightington. I didn't see him standing there.
When Gavo dies, I'm going to come back as
Sir Mightington.
Sir Mightington, the 10th level paladin.
Sir Mightington the Brave.
He's the baker.
Sir Mightington the baker.
So, Gavo, would you like me to perform Zone of Truth around his corpse?
Oh, this is gonna get snippy.
Well, Colonel, listen. If you want to be passive aggressive, I'm here for it. Go for it. Like let's just get it out. Go for it. I wanna be here for you, trying to process your feelings. So go ahead. Start.
Gavo, I just want you to learn. You are a young fool. And there are things at work here that you couldn't possibly understand. No amounts of hits on the head could ever bring you back to a sense that could understand what is at play here on this island. This creature, this now dead creature, a creature that I could have wrung the truth out of last night in the woods, may have given us a small token of knowledge. A small something so that we could understand just a little bit more what is happening. But now he lies dead. He lies dead because you chose following your heart instead of your head.
Well, that was a little more aggressive aggressive than passive aggressive, but cool, all good. Though I'll point out one thing. Just, I'm merely a child in these matters, but like, it seems to me what he was suggesting, reading between the lines, the token of knowledge I got was there are a lot of crazy different forces on this island. We're all operating independently, and Helectory, for whatever reason, was kind of keeping things at a level, an even keel. And now that she's gone, things are about to break loose, and whoever this guy's boss is about to, reap the benefits of the chaos.
Well, it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind.
Well, I did never know who to turn to when the wind came in.
We are done here, Gavo.
Actually, that reminds me. I wanted to give another retroactive doubloon / bottle cap to Drakeus, because you were right. Like, you called it. You said, if we take out Helectory, like, is she some kind of keystone that's holding everything together, as evil as she is? It's going to unleash chaos. And you were right. So I'm going to give you a bottle cap.
You said
also.
That?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Talked about it for a good little bit of time. Just kind of part Drakeus, part Grant thinking about the scene. It really, Carver Hastings or whatever the faceless stalker was that assumed his identity really reminded me of Heath Ledger's Joker in The Dark Knight. And, when he's taunting the police officer and he's like, in their last moments, people show you who they really are. Would you like to know which of your friends are cowards that I killed? And that's the vibe I was getting from him. And from that scene, I also didn't get if Batman compromised his principles that, like, if he started torturing him, Joker was going to tell the truth. He was just going to be an agent of mayhem no matter what. And that's what I got. Like, I regret not seeing kind of the drama of the scene, but, like, Drakeus is regretting that another lead towards his mother is lost in a way. But he didn't feel super confident of what was going to happen. And he's touched and felt his mother in the form of a hallucination from the fog monster. And he feels similar to the aftermath of that. He feels more bereft and more aggrieved of the opportunity to hold his mother had he never seen her face at all. He feels further away from her than when he left to come to Talmadore's Bounty.
Well, it's interesting, too, because this is a more tangible link to your mother, because that experience that you had, like, you attribute to from what you were able to learn from the Strix was a sort of mind reading. Like, they were reading your emotions and thoughts, probably. Whereas this had to be someone who knew your mother in order to replicate her. So this was a concrete link to someone who might have some actual idea of where your mother is now, and they're gone.
It seems like for whatever reason the faceless. I mean, here's my Matthew's theory as to why the faceless stalkers were infiltrating the colony was specifically to then get onto the ship of the next, like the next resupply ship, and then take that ship off the island. Like, that would, my guess is they were trying to get off the island for some reason. But then I don't know why.
But they were burning the ship.
They did burn the ship.
They were trying to burn the ship.
I forgot about that. I thought that was, in my mind, that was accidental.
It seems like we were just food to them. You know what I mean? Maybe now that couldn't have been their grand plan, but they saw one colony come. Maybe they infiltrated, start to learn what was going to happen. And they were like, oh, this is going to be a constant food source. More and more colonies are going to come. We'll just slowly infiltrate and devour them. But in talking to a fake Carver, he made it seem like they were possibly still alive.
Yeah.
It might have just been the way he spoke.
They're around.
Yeah, like, what, their bodies are in a fucking ditch. But I don't know. I got a sense from him that they were still in play.
Yeah, I thought so too.
They remind me kind of killer clowns from outer space. I think they're keeping them alive to feed off of them. Well, the killer clowns wrapped them in cotton candy and drank their straw out of silly straws. But
Yeah, so I think they're keeping them alive long enough. And it reminds me a lot, we talked about this a little bit in the 40K game, of gene stealer cults, like finally deciding to show their ugly heads after they've taken enough of a colony. But you'd think they'd want to keep us alive longer for us to reproduce, for them to have more of a food source.
Right, so here's what I think now. I think they come in with this plan, and it's been going on for a while. It was going on in the first colony. It's the source of the little civil war that was going on in that colony. Whoever enemy, you know, comes up, and they have to get rid of it, right? But you don't see any evidence of a bloodbath, so they're very careful about everything they do. Second colony comes in. They start sneaking back in. They re-infiltrate. They get their food source going, etc. And there's no reason to burn the supply ship. You want the supply ship to come. You want to get the food. You want to feed the people here. You want to continue assimilating, eating, etc. It is the death of Helectory that sets something off, that they're like, this has to be burned to the ground now, and we have to go. Like, that's what I'm thinking now. It's like, if that was the event that triggered, because it happened, we come here, and they've all of a sudden given up this grand plan when no one had a clue that they were in the midst.
But you were also directed to do exactly that by one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I wonder if it's just, if it's, it's a, like a balance of power on the island, and the faceless stalkers were, they're working for another, like a competing.
Arkley was the key, because, you know, there was all this stuff about them infiltrating and stuff, but like, why is Arkley blue and now dead? That's the second level of this that I think is going to unlock the why. And maybe it goes back to the stuff we saw at the end of book one about the, like, eugenics stuff they were working on.
Spindlelock initiative.
Yeah, Spindlelock initiative.
Making tomorrow's humanity today.
Right. Now, how are the Faceless Stalkers wrapped up in that? I don't know. Maybe they're gathering these people to become vessels for this experimentation.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe Arkley was a failed experiment, or an experiment that got loose, or...
He certainly seemed like a failed experiment. But let's also remember the list. That list takes on a lot more meaning now. Because the list had certain names checked off and certain other ones weren't. Maybe someone knew, like someone was making a list of the people that were doppelgangers and the people that weren't. We never thought about that possibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in the flashbacks we saw of Barnabas and Una plotting against the colonists, were they faceless stalkers, or did you misinterpret that flashback and they're actually plotting against the faceless stalkers that they knew were the bad guys? So, like,
right,
everything's topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
And the one impression that your characters would definitely get, that this is a broken play. This is a busted play. Like, this was not what was intended to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because you saw every one of these creatures, the Ogulfals that you ran into, they were all clearly starving.
Right.
So they... And you know also that the longer that they stay in these shapes that aren't their natural shapes, the more unpleasant it is for them. So... Something broke loose that wasn't supposed to, and this is not how it was all supposed to go down. You do get that distinct impression above all else.
Okay. Well, ultimately, unless you guys have anything else, any other ideas, the only thing that I am interested in a time-sensitive nature, is reporting the missing Syrinx, or Strix, or Syrinx.
Strix.
Syrinx is the language, right? Reporting the missing Strix. But other than that, I feel like we just have to, like, get the supplies and start rebuilding. And, like, I don't know what else is urgent to, like, leave the colony.
At that moment, another one of the guards comes up and says,
sorry, sirs. Mayor Ramona, she'd like to see you at her house, please. She asks that you see her right away.
If you'll come with me. And, like, he's looking down at this guy, like, sobbing on the ground, this Cedric Tanner. Do you do anything with him?
We bring him with us. Cedric?
Sedwig.
Sedwig?
Sedwig Tanner.
And the angry inch.
We tie his hands behind his back. We shove a gag down his throat and walk him to the governor's house.
Okay. And you actually have to carry him because, like, he won't walk. Like, he is completely collapsed. He won't move.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
Perhaps we should allow Ramona to deal with this in her own time. I don't think he's at risk of murdering anyone else at this point.
So I can look after him if you like. Make sure he's seen after. And he's still, this Sedwig is like still sobbing. And he says, I'm sorry. One of those things imposed is her. Watched it kill both our children. I don't know what happened to my wife. But I couldn't suffer one of them to live. It had a message it said right before I stabbed it. The first time, it said, tell them Thalhandu never broke. And they just, like, start sobbing again.
Can I do a sense motive?
Sure.
Just in case this was a plant ally that was just killing this guy so we couldn't talk. Ooh, yeah, natural 20.
Yeah, there's no deception.
Yeah, he's honestly crying.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we get that name? Do you write it down, Grant?
Thalhandu.
Thalhandu.
Thal, I think.
Thal.
Sorry, it's Thanaldhu. Thanaldhu. I'll spell it for you.
Oh.
Thanaldhu.
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 Who is Thanaldhu?
This is not a name that you've heard before.
I assumed it was him. I assumed it was the...
But yeah, with using context clues, you would assume it was the creature posing as Carver Hastings.
Got it. Hmm. And this guy knew his name?
You said that the creature told him...
Wow. Matthew was clearly sending an email.
There's a lot of things going on in his head.
I was trying to understand targeting strike.
You can't expect him to contribute all of his attention to what's going on.
Yeah. You're at the end of Act 2!
Busy man. So he said that this creature had a message that it gave him that said, tell them that Thalhandu never broke.
I could really see it being very suspicious and confusing from Matthew's perspective when you omit that one part. It's like the guy who stabbed him knew his true name.
You were like, I'm going to roll a sense motive. And I was like, something's up.
Now I'll pay attention. So you leave this guy with the guard and you go to see Ramona?
Yes.
Okay. So you go through the town and, again, like you see just people just trying to put the pieces back together, gathering the bodies. And you do notice that the bodies of the creatures are all being gathered and put into like a hut, like at the southern edge of the enclosed area. So it looks like they're gathering all the corpses into one little building. And so you go into Ramona's house and you open the door and like you see she has the same kind of exhausted, almost haunted look that you've gotten used to seeing like around these people. And she just kind of like gives a little like gesture of greeting, and Carter Malleus, her left hand man, is like there, and Father Aemon is there too, and they're just like kind of sorting through paperwork, and she invites you to all to sit at her little modest table there, and she says. Thank you all again. Repeating myself, but thank you for being our saviors again. That's formed a habit doing this. But
now is no time to rest on accolades. There is work that needs doing, immediate work that needs doing, and I think you know that. I don't think we can give up hope that there is a way to recover the people that these aberrant horrors have taken. I suspect that they may still be alive somewhere. So, I have to implore you again. Go above and beyond to help us. Help us help the colony survive. I would like you, if you might, to use your talents to look for clues about the whereabouts of these missing people. I feel like it's a needle in a haystack at this point. I don't know where to begin. And she just kind of like looks, despairs for a minute. And like Carter like comes up and like kind of like pats her on the shoulder. And she just allows herself like a second to kind of give in to despair. She comes right back. And she says, I would suggest you look at the any equipment, any possessions that these creatures had on them. I gave instructions for all of their bodies to be gathered into the building at the south end of the palisade. And she like she's kind of like drifting, like she's so tired.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the sense that she probably has still not gone to sleep. And says, you may want to you are people, you have clout in town. You may want to talk to anyone that might have spent time with any one of these creatures in their hidden forms, or fought with them, or had any experience with them before they reverted. And if you can look around town to find any signs of these people that were taken away, they had to bring them somewhere.
Ramona, yes. It's understood. Leave it in our hands. We can take care of it. We're up to the task. You really, really need to get some rest. I understand the pressure and the weight that is on your shoulders, but you will do no good for the colony in this state. You have to rest. And I'm going to roll a diplomacy check.
Okay.
See if I can get her to do that. Ooh, that is a 29.
Wow, that's really good. Yeah, she looks like really driven to just not rest until like the last ounce of energy is drained from her. And Carter like pipes up too to kind of, he sees where you're going and he's just like,
they say, yes, ma'am, you really must. Azura is right. You have to rest. You'll be no good to anyone if you drop over. Just get some sleep, just a few hours. I can take care of a lot of this. It's all right.
And she kind of slumps in her chair and she says,
point well taken. Thank you.
But before I retire, I should impress on you that there is a limited amount of time here. I don't know how these people that were taken are being treated, but I can only imagine that they're not being treated well. And I think we only have a matter of days to find them, to make certain that they're all right. And I honestly, I don't know that I can hold the town together much longer than that.
So can I just clarify as a player, are you talking about the people that were kidnapped during this crazy fight, or are you talking about everybody that's been missing since the first colony?
Well, right now, she's talking about the people who were replaced.
that you all know, and anyone that was taken. Now, right now, she would tell you, like, they're still making an account of who's missing, who was killed, who had been replaced, who's still missing.
Yeah.
Apart from that, so that's going to take a while to, like, kind of piece together.
Right,
a full picture of that. But right now, she's just talking about anyone that was taken and replaced recently, or in this fight. Like, you think, like, there's a really good chance that people were taken last night. So,
okay, great. And Azura will tell her what this faceless stalker said, the implying that more could still be alive, you know, from the former colony, and just sort of say, like, they might all be in the same place. Like, we're going to try to track them all down.
Yeah, she says, if there's any chance that you can recover anyone from the original colony, that would be miraculous. And they might have answers that we've been searching for, too. I can only hope that they're all together, and that at least some of them of the original colonists are still alive.
Yes.
Yes. Good thinking. Are there any? Is there anything I can do to help before you set out? Any questions you have for me?
Where are they bringing all of the bodies?
There were. You saw, like, as you were leaving, like, it's just like a feed shed, like, down at the southern end of the center of town.
And we want to look through their bodies, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things she suggested. Yeah.
Yeah, why don't we start there?
Great.
Okay. Anyone else?
Well, I'm curious if we learned anything talking to anyone from our diplomacy roles.
We haven't resolved that yet.
Okay, got it.
That's kind of, we'll roll those roles over. You can keep those. Because that was another thing that she suggested, was go and talk to people in the town, find out anyone who had experiences with these creatures, either before they turned or after, whatever. So that's on the table also.
Yeah, she basically said, go gather information.
Yeah.
Use, like, diplomacy.
We were going to. We already rolled.
We already rolled the
She's
Ramona?
Like, you can roll those rolls over.
Those of you take with 1D4 low diplomacy. Hours. Aid. Or attempt to aid.
As far as I knew, Drakeus was pot committed to helping Matthew.
Exact words. Nailed it.
Colonel, I believe you're at a +1. Do not try to roll. Perhaps you could hit DC 10 with an 8.
I just love it. I never get sick of the jokes where NPCs talk in the mechanics of the world.
I know. I wish we could do that in real life. I wish I had a copy of the rules book for life.
Yep.
Just refer to it. So you guys head out.
My acrobatic skill is what?
Oh, I wouldn't want to see my character sheet. That'd be super impressive.
I
would not want to see that. That would despair.
Where did I invest skill points in this?
Yeah.
Craft buttons?
No, I had that.
I didn't know I put so many points in self-doubt.
Seems like a waste.
Wow. I didn't know I could put more points than my current level into it. That's incredible.
It's a unique ability of that skill. So there was some piece of random trivia we were talking about before we went on the air, and I was like, oh god, I don't know why I've committed that piece of trivia to memory. Like, that, I feel like my knowledge would be like knowledge, like random trivia about, I don't know, plant colors.
Yeah, you know. About happy days.
Yeah.
It's like, why did I put one point in knowledge happy days? Doesn't even cover Laverne and Shirley. It's a specific. So do you guys, like, go check out the bodies first?
Let's look at the bodies
first. Yeah, might as well, yeah.
Can we take 20 on searching them? Or?
Yeah, you can. But as you're leaving, Azura, Ramona catches your eye. Like, as you walk out, and she grabs you, like, just, you know, she jumps up and, like, she's like, make sure that the rest of the group is, like, out of earshot. And she said,
I just want... Have you seen any additional strange behavior from the colonel that I should be concerned about?
No. Don't concern yourself with that. Leave it to me. Right. You have enough to think about.
Yeah.
So far, he's been acting the same.
Okay. All right.
Completely unhinged.
If I weren't completely desperate, I wouldn't... He's not the first person that I would want on this particular assignment, or any assignment. She's like looking out the door, like making sure he's there. It's just like, but it's like, I have no choice, and he has incredibly useful skills. Just please keep an eye on him and keep the others safe.
Yes, I will. Don't worry. Again, sleep.
All right. And she like, okay. And she like waves, and she just kind of like her head slumps, and she like heads back into her room.
I cast deep slumber.
Okay. She collapses and her head hits the table like a million-dollar baby.
And, breaks her neck.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys head down to the building where they're keeping these corpses of these creatures, and you open the door, and like the scent, smell just like whoa. A very distinctive odor in their own shape. And yeah, there's just like dismembered body parts and hacked up torsos just piled up. And it looks like there's maybe 20 of them.
Jeez.
In here altogether. So you take 20?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So... Yeah, one thing that you notice on all of their bodies, each one of them has little pockmarks, like kind of scattered all over their body. And who does anyone have a what's everyone's heal skill?
Oh, it's pretty good.
And just to be clear, these are all in their unmorphed forms, right?
Yeah, they're all when they die, they revert to their natural forms.
Got it.
Oh, 7th level, I'm 10 plus 10 heal.
Okay, yeah. So the colonel, you are taking a look at these things, and you've seen similar things on the battlefield, but these they look like scars from burn wounds. All of them.
Not fresh. No, they'd be scars. They're not
fresh.
No.
Yeah, they're like, it seems like they came from an environment where there was extreme heat. Like they all have these, like, these burns, old burn scarring, like, all over
them. And there's a volcano on the island, right?
It just came from it.
Yes. Isn't that Bridgewalker Mountain?
It is.
Oh, it's Bridgewalker.
It's a dormant volcano. Yeah, so maybe they were within the mountain.
Yeah, that's all I could think of in terms of heat, unless there's some, like, core to the island that is bubbling magma.
Can we please go into some gates into the mountain?
Maybe it's not a volcano at all.
Oh, God, that'd be amazing.
One other thing that occurs to you, Colonel, what does anyone else have heal?
Plus 6.
Not
as far as skill.
I don't want any of them to know what I discover.
So, to Drakeus and the colonel, you don't share any of this knowledge. See, Ramona, you know, she has some good ideas. So, Drakeus and the colonel, one thing that does occur to you, like, as you're looking at this body, and you're remembering fighting them and how resistant they were to bludgeoning. The way the colonel especially, like, the way their bodies felt when you hit them with your flail.
Yeah.
That feel of that resilient, like, cartilage feel. You think this is one possible way of determining if someone is one of these creatures or not, is seeing how their body responds to blunt trauma.
We can just walk around clubbing people?
Just punching people and seeing. Yeah.
Line up the colony. I will hit them all with my flail and we'll study the results.
You're joking, but it's not the worst idea in the world.
It's not. What is it? Time Bandits? In the Robin Hood sequence where John Cleese is Robin Hood is hello, and he's handing out the riches to all the poor people, and then the guy punches him. And like
And John Cleese is just like, he turns the guy, he's just like, is that strictly necessary? And he's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And he says, what did he say? He says, sorry, he's afraid it is. Oh, all right. The other thing that occurs to you is in, oh, and you look through all of their like possessions are like gathered up here too. They were, the, looks like the colonists are pretty good about putting it all with them. And they, it all just looks like everyday stuff. Like you don't come across anything kind of incriminating or noteworthy.
Detect magic, nothing.
Nope, nothing magic. But it does inspire you perhaps to take another look at what Carver had on him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So we have written down the tiny jewelry box and the battered spyglass I don't think we ended up looking at.
Or at the mirror, really.
Or the mirror, yeah.
The mirror,
yeah, you really didn't take a close look the way we played it at anything.
Yeah, we didn't even give out like the ring of protection. There was a ring of protection. We never gave that out.
Yeah.
Yep. By the way, I decided to not take the armor because it is a lower AC than what I had. I thought it was similar, but it's 1 point lower. So we could sell that, though, if we want to put that on the list.
Unless it's worth it to you, because that is one thing it has. It can appear like any other article of clothing.
Yeah.
So it's good to have in our, if we ever, when are we going to fucking use it?
And then when is it going to just benefit one person outside of Azura to have their armor look slightly different?
I should wear it. I really should wear it. It's just like
ever a point in the adventure where it's like, you must greet the king without weapon or armor. Then you could wear that. That's its only use. Can I, and by I mean Azura, roll a spellcraft check to try and recall spells that use a mirror as a component?
Sure, yeah.
She might.
Let's see if she has that knowledge.
Yeah, I got a 14, so.
Okay. Jesus. Just rocks from Azura. That's a 26 spellcraft.
Wow. I know there are spells that you, but the, like, there's nothing specific that would apply in any way to, you think, what's happening here.
How big is the mirror?
It's like a little hand mirror.
Can we look into it?
Maybe it's just because they're looking, they look to like make sure they look like someone.
That's what I was practicing. They're like,
make a perception check on it.
All right. I can do that. Natural 19.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. No, actually, I misspoke. Anyone can do a geography or local check on it.
Oh, geography? Finally.
I can do local. With 24 local, if I can roll that one roll over.
Okay. 25 local.
Okay.
20 geography.
Okay. You're all looking at this thing, and it's not really making sense, except to Azura.
Nice.
You notice on the bottom edge of it that there is just, as you're turning it over, there's just like little tiny marks like scratched into it. And that was knowledge local you used?
Yeah.
Okay. There's like this kind of obscure kind of continental form of shorthand, and it's etched into the bottom of it. And it says property of SL.
Oh.
SL. Grant?
Let's look at our manifest from the first colony.
And I'll save you some time. This is something, someone that you haven't met, but there is a Seymour Landis in the colony. Or at least there was.
Currently, last night. Oh, okay.
At least before last night, there was a Seymour Landis in the
colony. Got a good lead.
Dude. What about the other stuff, the jewel box? Is there any, if we take some time to examine that?
Yes, the box that had the magic dust in it, the dust of vanishing. Give me either an appraise, spellcraft, or perception check.
Sorry, quick skid. I think that wasn't the dust of vanishing. I believe it was dust of
tracelessness.
Tracelessness.
Yeah, dust of tracelessness, yes.
Yeah, so I looked that up, and it's pretty cool. Not sure when we'd use it, but
it just covers your tracks, is it?
Yeah.
What it is?
Yeah, basically. It has some other kind of cool elements. It can make it look like a whole bunch of, like, you know, mounted riders rode through an area or something.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody with that check?
27 perception.
Ooh. Okay. Drakeus notices. Yeah, looking at this with your kind of experience sailing the seas, meeting people of a bunch of different cultures, this is something that is really totally unlike any of the other material that Dalandu like had on its body. So you think that this is probably something that belonged to the creature before it impersonated Carver.
Hmm.
You think
the scope,
spyglass,
spyglass. Okay. Yeah.
Give me a geography, nobility, or perception check.
Knowledge, well, nobility.
Yeah, baby.
Would profession sailor help at all?
Not in this particular case.
Natty 16 on the knowledge nobility.
Boom.
22. Boom. 22.
Okay. Gavo, you notice as you're looking at this battered spyglass, the lens have like little scratches on them, but it seems to work. It seems to be completely functional. And you notice on it, there is a small golden symbol on one of the cylinders that you recognize as being the emblem of the Liberty's Herald, which is the initial colony ship that was sent over from the Bountiful Venture Company.
Oh, that makes sense that Gavo would recognize that because he is technically an employee of the Bountiful Venture Company.
Right. Yeah. You saw that stamp on all your paperwork.
This is from the ship. This is from the original ship, the Liberty's Herald. Does that suggest that this creature was on the ship, or does that suggest they just took it from somebody who was on the crew of the ship?
I would think the latter, but they might have come over with the ship. Well, that would be oh my God.
What if the Bountiful Venture Company sent the stalkers and his plants?
Yeah.
What if the Bountiful Venture Company, what if this is essentially
an alien experiment?
Right, we've talked about that, that this was all one big fucking thing, but
to get access to Aslanti technology found on the island.
This is just too much. Yeah,
Bountiful Venture Company is just a perfect name for
for something completely evil.
Right. Wicked.
Yeah. As an employee of the Bountiful Venture Company, is there any kind of, like, knowledge check or retroactive sense motive I can do on my dealings with them to see if I can, like, I've ever, you know, encountered shady dealings that I didn't really think much of before, but now I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, if you want to look on your past dealings in a new light based on what your suspicions are now, do a sense motive.
You know what it is the Bountiful Venture Company is Weyland Yutani, and the Faceless Stalkers are synthetics.
I mean, that's very much sounds like what you're describing, yeah, for sure. So.
That's what's happening. That's probably why.
Okay, Natty.
Natty 17.
Case. Got to go back to Ancorado.
I feel good. Then sailing off into the sunset. Right.
And the into the series sunrise. Finale.
24 cents motive.
Legacy of the Ancients.
So, yeah, you definitely picked up on some shadiness. Looking back, you think that there seem to be some ulterior motives looking back now. But just kind of the general kind of unctuousness of the people that you dealt with. But it's still difficult to say whether that was just sort of capitalistic onerousness or something more.
Well, There's only one way to be sure, and that's to wait till Ramona falls asleep, barge into a room, throw water in her face, and demand answers.
Hit her with a blunt instrument.
And start punching her to see if her face responds.
I just feel like every interaction, during all of my Gavo diplomacy, Gavo is just going to walk up and say, "Hey, how are you? Real fast. Bam!" Just haul off and hit him in the face. All right, well, now that that's done, what
it
can you tell
like
me?
All that went through?
Good question. Good question.
It's real easy on the fist. I don't know.
Well, right now we have one lead, is the owner of this mirror. Let's go check out him. That's really all we have.
Let's
right
go torture him. There's still other things.
Well, let's check out the other things.
Yeah, what else is there?
Okay, so he still has the crossbow.
Masterwork light crossbow. Yeah, can I look that over?
Okay. Yeah, you look over markings. The crossbow. Give me a geography, local, or profession soldier.
25. You can just put me down for a 25 local for any of these things.
Okay.
Because I can take 10.
I was in the Navy.
Yeah, you see that on sort of the triggering mechanism, you see the initials CH carved into it.
Carver Hastings.
The original Carver Hastings. Okay. Yeah,
so this probably belonged to the original Carver Hastings.
Ah, so, okay.
It is so convenient that people put their initials on stuff in this world.
I know. I would if I had a crossbow.
Well, I put my name on like my glass cannon hat. Like when we were on tour and stuff like that, I was like, I put my name on that tag. There's a lot of these hats around, laying around. You never know.
You know how restaurants usually have a place where you put your umbrellas on rainy days? They have that in Pathfinder for crossbows, so you don't want to get yours mixed up with everyone else's.
Just drops their crossbows in when they walk in the door.
All right. Is this your crossbow? I'm not sure.
Mine's masterwork. Is yours masterwork?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Definitely.
Definitely masterwork. Yeah.
There's my repeating.
This is my plus one.
Here's my heavy. You know, the heavy, I hear that's really a bitch to reload. Is it really? Does it take a full round?
Well, let
it
me ask you a question. Do you keep yours loaded when you're adventuring? Because I would.
It just seems, I don't know why you wouldn't.
When you're shocked and surprised by an enemy you weren't planning on in an area that wasn't dangerous at all, you always have your crossbow in your hand loaded, right?
Right.
I also, can you imagine it's like finding, like you're like, you sit down at a table in a tavern on a rainy day, you're like, oh, look at this. It's a plus two crossbow.
Somebody must have forgotten it. Crossbow.
It's mine now.
The lost and found at most gyms is just a cardboard box full of a discarded crossbow.
All right. So, so you still have his sword.
And the ring, right?
And the ring, like you already like did a spellcraft on, is just a regular like ring of protection.
Did everyone
it's not marked at all?
Did anyone not have a ring of protection? Because we can also sell that. Oh, you did.
I don't have a ring.
I don't know. There you go.
I don't think. I have a ring of swimming.
It's like we've all got a ring of protection, right? We can
let's
just
move
it.
On.
Let's just move on.
Yeah. Do you want to distribute this ring before we?
Yeah.
I would love to. How many rings can you wear?
Two.
Two? All right, I'll take... Wait, is there only just one, or is there multiple?
There's
just one.
What, just one.
All right, you want to roll on it?
Roll on.
Roll off.
It's roll a roll off. Off.
I thought you all had one.
Not over here.
Not
That's
here.
That's what I was asking.
Ten.
Not here hard either. Pass.
Ten? Is ten going to win?
Two.
I got an eight, so...
All right, I'll take
the ring. Hey, it's always good for the cleric to have a ring of protection.
Azura wins with the eight high. Takes the hand. All
that
right.
That was a ring of protection plus four, right?
Troy
just nods silently.
Okay, so yeah, the long sword, give me an appraise, or if I don't think anyone has craft weapons, but
profession sword
has a natural four on the appraise suit you for a five.
Ooh,
that'll nail it.
I got an 18 appraise.
19 appraise.
Ooh. You're not sure it's masterwork. You know that it's masterwork, but it looks like it's nondescript other than that. It looks like it could have probably belonged to the original Carver Hastings, but you're not sure.
Got him.
And okay, so then you just have his like sundry items, like his flint steel and everything, and his clothes. So give me a geography or local.
Geography.
21.
Okay.
23 local.
Okay. So the two of you, Drakeus and Gavo, you're looking through, like, he had a backpack, he had his belt pouch with his flint and steel and a water skin. And they're all totally mundane and ordinary. Probably belong to Carver Hastings. Mm. All right. So finally, just his outfit. Give me a geography, nature, or perception.
21 nature. Okay. Or 24 nature. I'm sorry.
Oh, interesting.
The nature boy.
All right. So you're sort of like picking over his body. This is kind of like the autopsy scene in a crime movie.
Mm.
Or a horror movie. X-Files. And you're sort of like going over his body and like taking the giant loud photographs and everything. And Drakeus, you're kind of crouched down by his heels. And you're looking at his... you're looking at the boots of Elvenkind.
Hmm.
On Gavo's feet.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, let me see those boots.
Did you stop river dancing for 1 minute?
Show me your nude feet.
He's sitting back and he just like sticks his feet up in the air so they're like right at Drakeus's waist level so he can hold on to them and examine them. He's like twisting them around.
Okay. So the boots of Elvenkind have these little sort of fine metal lightweight cleats in them. And there's still some like mud congealed between them, you know, when you're like out playing soccer or whatever, you get mm-hmm. So you look at them and you pick it apart, and with that knowledge check, you see like you're sort of like peeling apart the mud in the shoe with your thumbnails.
And my tongue.
And your tongue. And you uncover this bright purple petal. And with your knowledge, nature, knowledge, you know that this is a flower that you've seen growing in certain places near the water on this island, and only a handful of them.
Oh,
and we'll see you next time.
Oh!
By Gozer's quavering bosom.
His lair! His lair! Juiciest clue at the end.
It's always the last clue that leads you to where you need to go.
Last clue.
Raiders of the Lost Continent is a Glass Cannon Network production. The Glass Cannon is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. Ruins of Aslant is copyright 2017. Ruins of Aslant and the Pathfinder Adventure Path are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.